Our Father, our God, is a God of generations. Amen?
Amen.
Today was a peculiar time to see all the way from the younger to the older generations leading the service today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for your obedience. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know somebody years ago. I grew up confused, grew up like every other child, running around, going to school, and but along the way, a lot of things happened. And with all the education, with all the hard work, with everything I tried to do, I came to a point in my life, it was a standstill. It was a roadblock. I've heard about Jesus. I've gone to different, like, then the Catholic Church. I've heard about Easter growing up all my life. I've heard about Good Friday. I've heard about Jesus. People have preached this, they've knocked on the door, shared the Bible. I was actually in the Catholic Church and I was a mass server. I was the president of the Catholic Church in my high school. I was head of St. Jude. I was all this stuff. Growing up, I was scratching everywhere looking for God. And at one point, I didn't know I've developed a mindset of religion. It only took a little bit of temptation here and there after I graduated high school, and then that was it. I went totally into the world. I was lost. All my college days, graduated as an engineer, I was lost. But there's something in my heart that knew God has to be bigger than my problem. God has to be real. And everything I've gone through so far has not anchored my soul. So 33 years ago, here in America, something happened to me. And that day was when Good Friday became Good Friday for me. That's the day Easter Sunday became something to me. So I understood that Christ is not an imagination, it's not something I read. He is here right now. He is real 24/7. And when I discovered that, when I experienced that, when I encountered that, I dropped everything else. I said, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. I want what has happened to me, I want God for you to do it for other people. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, though I was living and doing everything. But now I can see beyond this world. I can see beyond life. I now understand eternal life. I was dead, even though I was walking around, but I never knew that the wages of sin is dead. So I was dead, and my aspirations, my visions, everything about my life was inspired from a dead soul. Until I found Christ. And the power of his resurrection took me from death to life. And now my inspiration and everything I do comes out of that place of life. Amen?
Amen?
And just to fast forward really quickly, as the Lord started walking and ministering in my life and setting me free and teaching me about deliverance, about hope, about the cross, about restoration. I encountered a woman, and Marian, I want to use that example because I have a weakness here, Marian. God has allowed me to see the power of restoration in many, many places. But the reason I want to share this particular testimony is because I have had people, I didn't know people could the rest of their life be bound with their past. What will you do if you were born out of a home that the parents were not an example for you? What if you were born out of a home where you were born into a home where they were all criminals? Or you were born into a home where they were all harlots? Or you were born into a home where there were all kinds of traditional and demonic activities? Where is your hope? How will you come out of something you were born into, you never asked for it, and that thing drives the rest of your life? You're tormented, you're miserable, you're taking drugs, you're taking alcohol, you're taking all kinds of things, regardless of your status, but still, something in you is saying, there has to be hope somewhere. There has to be peace somewhere. I've heard about this Christ, but what? Who can deliver me from this? And so the testimony of this lady, why it touched me so much was because she was, at the time we met, she was so deep in witchcraft. She's so deep. And she went very far. I won't go into all the details. She felt there was no more hope. There was no hope. She felt because of her past and what she was born into, there is no forgive. See, when you don't understand why Jesus says, forgive us our debt, sin is like you're carrying a debt. And when that, based on the degree of what you think you've done, a murderer, a this, a that, the devil makes you feel that that debt, you'll carry the rest of your life. And so the weight of everything she's done has put her in bondage, in captivity. There was no peace. There was nothing. There was no hope. And if she tries to go out, the people, the pharaohs behind her, where she's coming from, they will not, because they were more powerful than her. But when we introduced her to Jesus, and she encountered Christ, and tasted the power of what this blood can cleanse, what this blood can forgive, what this restoration power can do, she received hope. So we are today celebrating the restoration from the cross on Friday. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to your friends at work? What does it mean to your friends in school? What does it mean to our generation that is crying for a father? That is crying for hope? That is just so depressed and so confused? What does today mean for our generation? And that's, what does it mean to you that have already received him? So my life changed 33 years ago when I came here. And this woman's life forever changed because of the blood. So as we continue, I want to read to you, because a few days ago, there was a professor at a seminary that passed. And because we work with the different people there, we are part of the funeral. So we went. Every Christmas or Good Friday or Easter, I always ask the Lord, please don't let this be a tradition. Let me receive something new, something fresh, something that I can put on my diary and say, this Easter, this Good Friday, I receive something new from you. That will be the rest of my life. So it's not another tradition. We celebrate, we dance, we enjoy, and then we leave, and we go through the cycle. Once, what will you mark your life with and say, this Christmas, God added something, added, upgraded my spiritual life? What will that be? So I pray you listen, because I received my a few days ago at the funeral. I was walking by the casket, was there, and he was lying. This is somebody I've known, was lying on that casket. And I looked at him, Keziah was there with his wife, and I looked at him, and when I was walking away, the Lord spoke to me. He said, see, that man is not dead. But he's dead to the physical world. And that's real. If that man has not known me, the destination of the real dead is where he will be. And then the Lord spoke something personal to me about what I need to take from this season still in this body. Amen? So I've received, and I pray I will still receive more. So I pray this morning that instead of us going back to the tradition of what you've had all your life, since you've been a believer, about the death and resurrection and stuff. I know some of you, somebody here might want to hear that. But today, we're not going to go through all the traditional scriptures and testimonies. I believe the Lord wants me to share with you something about the benefits of his resurrection. The power that lies in you that needs to be realized by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's begin from, let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelations. Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. I'm going to read. Revelations chapter 1. I'll read from verse 4. John to the seven churches. Amen? Amen. So he's talking to the church, to you. Amen. To us. Amen. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you. And peace from him which is. Amen? Amen. Which was and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the what? The faithful witness. And the first begotten. The firstborn from dead. And to the prince of the firstborn from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6. Listen to what we have received now if you're born again. If you're not born again, if you're not giving your life to Christ, this is what you have not received. So don't leave this place today empty of this. Verse 6. And had made us kings and priests unto God and to his Father. To him be what? Glory and dominion forever and ever. Let's just flip across to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Again, I'll read from verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and had redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every what? Kindreds and tongues and people and nations. And has made us unto God kings and priests. And we shall reign in the earth. The benefits of the cross, the benefits of the power of resurrection. It says that God has redeemed us and has made us through his blood a royal priesthood, kings and priests. What does that mean? Before I read another scripture really quick, I want to share with you a testimony in the Bible about somebody who understood his bloodline. His name is David. There was a time the children of Israel were going through some very difficult moments. And this Goliath has become a thorn in their flesh. It's become a cause for distress. It's become a cause for depression, confusion. And the nation was arrested by this fierceness, by this intimidation. And the physical army could not fight. So everybody was paralyzed with fear. You all know that story. Something happened when David came. David was a young man, very young man. He came to this battlefield. He saw this Goliath and he saw what was happening. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistines? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Now, what that word might not mean a lot to you, but let me explain really quickly. Because what I'm about to share with you, if you understand this physical aspect of this experience, this spiritual experience will make more sense to you. The benefit of the cross. Why did Jesus come? It's just to forgive our sins or to make us overcomers. So, David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistines? What was David referring to? He's looking at a giant that is intimidating everybody. He's a young man. He's not trying to be prideful. He has a revelation of something. He said, who is this uncircumcised causing this problem? What David was basically saying was, whatever this giant is, whatever this problem is, whatever this situation is, it does not carry God's approval. The bloodline that carries the approval of God, the seal of God, the power of God, the defense of God, is the bloodline of Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham. And God says, I will fight for you. I will defend you. I'll protect you. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. And your seed will inherit these promises. So he made a covenant. That means from the moment Abraham was circumcised and it became from Abraham to Abraham, he now carried a bloodline that carries the seal of heaven upon it. So that it makes things that are impossible possible because God is with them. So all these Israelites, all these believers from Abraham going forward, you see just a few people that understand this, the power of their lineage, the power of their bloodline. So when it came to the days of David, if you remember, they're not supposed to fight their battles by themselves because they have God. They have enemies. So David now looked at the problem they are facing and says, no, this does not have God's approval, even though it looks like a giant in the physical, but I know a God that has made a covenant with our forefathers. We are covenant people because we are circumcised. And the approval of God The defense of God, the power of God is with us. So this Goliath cannot keep us intimidated. Now, how do you say something like that and the king will believe you or anybody will believe you? You have to have experience. You have to have experience. So that it's not just what you read, it's who you are. Amen? I've always told you all the story about if you go to school to study to be a doctor or a lawyer, a doctor, you go from the knowledge and you go to practice. When you practice, you are now a doctor, or you're now what you have in your head, you are now what you become. Amen? The Bible, Christianity, is not just book. It's who we are. You have to translate it from knowledge to a person. So that's where David has been. And David now shared his experience. Because what you have not tested, you don't even know if you believe it. So David shared his experience. He says, you know what? To Saul. He says, I was taking care of my father's sheep. And this bear came. Amen? Amen? What is the bear? What is the problem? You know, what is those things you've gone through that you've prayed, you sought God, or you fasted, or you say, God, I'm your covenant child. God, deliver me. God, help me. What is that thing? Once you get one breakthrough, that's an experience. And that's what we call testimony. So David says, I was going through this thing and the bear came. I refused to run. Some people say, let him just eat the sheep. No, I have responsibility. So he stood, and because he has developed a relationship, now he just understood the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob is now become the God of David. It's not what he was reading. True relationship is discovered that God and the track record of that God. So when the bear came, he says, no, you can come, but I have a God that will fight. And he fought. And God delivered him. Then a lion came. Amen? So sometimes, you know, a bigger problem comes. This comes. But there's nothing God cannot do to give us new testimonies. So out of that experience, he was able to come to the king and say, King, God did it here. God did it here. God delivered me from here. So God, because of his covenant, will deliver me from Goliath. And the whole nation's life, destiny was given to this young man because of experience. So before I read the scripture, it's very important that we desire having experience with God. That's what makes a difference. If this Easter passes and you don't take something in your heart that could help you overcome natural life circumstances, whether marriage, whether whatever it is, God has an answer. Amen?
Amen.
So, the benefits of the resurrection power, the cross this year. So I want to read to you what we've inherited through this bloodline. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start with Ephesians chapter 1. And they can put it on the screen too. But let's read it together. It's good to see it. I'm going to read from verse 15. Ephesians 1 verse 15. Wherefore I also, that's Paul writing, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. So he's saying, you've grown in the Lord. You are in faith. You're doing well. But there's more God can impact to your life. There's more of that he wants us to have knowledge of him. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you. Thank. Making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. To know him. Amen?
Amen.
In the knowledge of him. Verse 15. When you know him, in the knowledge of him. Now he starts explaining some things from verse 18. One, the privilege, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Amen?
Amen?
Everyone that is born again, you have a calling. Not just a calling to serve in the ministry, but the biggest calling God has taught me is your spiritual identity. A lot of people are born again. A lot of people are saved, but they don't know what it means. Your identity as a believer matters. That you may know what is the hope of your calling. Amen?
Amen.
And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he what? He raised, that's today, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his what? Right hand in the heavenly places. Please follow this. You will see why I'm reading this. Verse 21. He set him in the heavenly what? Places far above all principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If we stop there, that's what Jesus has done, isn't it? And that's the place God has put him. But now in his resurrection, he brought us into the kingdom. So chapter 2 tells about our part. So let's continue reading. Chapter 2 verse 1. And me and you had he what? Given life. He has quickened. Who were what?
Dead.
When Jesus said let the dead bury the dead, it means that person in the casket is not really dead if he had Christ, but is dead to the world. He says, we have he quickened who were dead in our trespasses and sin. Where in time past, now because we were dead, time past, we walked according to the course, the GPS of the world system, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that controls the children, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So Paul is saying, look at what Christ has done, but now that we are born again, he's now about to introduce us to a higher ground, a higher place where he wants our eyes to see, our understanding to receive, but he was describing where we came from. Amen? He's describing here that before we got born again, we were dead. We were in darkness. We were sinners. He said because of who we used to be, that there is a spirit. Amen?
Amen.
The spirit of this age that is the GPS that controlled our life. That everything, like I told you my testimony, I was just living, but I could not see. I was only seen through the vision of the dead. My everything that we're doing, whether it's the president, whether it's whatever the vision, whether it's Paul Rich, it says there is a spirit unknown to man that is basically directing the GPS of their life. That's what Paul is saying. Our life, our course was being orchestrated by an unseen world. Amen?
Amen.
Now, here's what this resurrection means. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our lifestyle. In time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we are by nature the children of what? Wrath. Even as others. Here's the shift. Here's what happened to me 33 years ago. This is what happened to you the moment you received Christ. And this is what will happen to you today if you have not encountered him. This is what he said from verse 4. But God. Hallelujah. That's a sign to wake up. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy. What does that mean? No matter how good works, no matter how good works, no matter our righteousness, is as filthy rags. Amen? It says we are at the mercy of God. Is the mercy. No man can boast. It's not something we can claim that we did it. We made it happen. Say, but God, who is rich in mercy, that's the cross, for his great love wherewith he what? Loved us. If you're here, let me just pause. There are people, and I've been through it, that every time they are going through some things, they will say, nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Listen, he says here, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he what? He loved you. Let's just say, God loves me.
And it's
enough.
Amen?
Amen? Verse 5. Even when we were what? Dead in sin, he died for us. Even when we're dead in sin, had he what? Given us life when we receive him.
Yes.
Quicken us together with Christ. By grace, we are saved.
Amen.
So his mercy and his power makes all the difference. Verse 6. And had what? Raised us up together and has made us sit together. Raised up to giving us life, we're born again. Raised us together. Caused us to sit together. Where? In Christ. You remember I read chapter 1 to you. Let me read chapter 1 again so you see where Christ is seated. And then, now he's saying when we're born again, he will raise us and we're seated in the heavenly place. What does that mean? Okay, let's read this. It says, verse 19, chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, who has received according to the working of his mind, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, like now he's raised, and set him at his own right hand in what? Heavenly places. He's raised us to be seated in heavenly places. What does that heavenly places look like? Verse 21. Far above principalities, far above powers, far above might, far above dominion, and every name that is named. What does this mean? I want to use a quick illustration before we conclude. Amen? Bomati, you always, come, if you don't mind. Bomati doesn't always mind. Okay. Come, Josiah, come. I know you won't mind. Amen. Amen. You can stand here. Amen. Okay. Here is Josiah before he was born again. Amen. Before he was born again, he's in the world. He lives in the world. Amen. And like we read, the prince of this world that we don't see controls his life. No matter what his, no matter what he's doing in this world, everything that Josiah does cannot make it to heaven. No matter how many humanitarian things he does in Africa or in West Africa or in India, that is what we call self-righteousness. He says it's a filthy rag. The only righteousness that heaven receives is the one that comes through the blood of the Lamb and those that are born. So all this, the systems of the world, everything, Josiah is living in it. So he's not born again. And when he leaves this world, if he doesn't get born again, he's going directly to the realm of the dead, which is hell. Because it's meant for dead people, spiritually dead. The wages of sin is what? Death. So that's it. So here is Josiah, and then Jesus went to the cross, and then he gets, Josiah comes and somebody ministers or is hearing the message, and he gives his life to Jesus. What happened? So what he's saying here is, Josiah now receives Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I'm using Bumati just so to differentiate. Amen? So when he receives Christ, he is born again. Born again means Josiah physically will not change. But on the inside, somebody lives in Josiah. Amen? And that person is Bomati. Amen? Amen? As the born again. Born again. So this is Josiah. This is the born again Josiah. Now, but understand what I'm saying. You know, like a pregnant woman has somebody inside, isn't it? Okay. This is a spiritual person. So Job Bumati is spiritual, is inside of Josiah. He's born again. So Josiah's physical bloodline was from the fallen Adam. That bloodline Satan controls because of sin. Huh? Now when he gets born again, he now has a spiritual bloodline. He now has the bloodline of Jesus. He now has the bloodline of Christ. And who is Christ? God. So it's God, Christ, the Holy Spirit. So Bomati follows that lineage and is inside of him. Amen?
Amen?
So everywhere Josiah goes, he's carrying a heavenly heritage called the child of God. But the problem is you can't see him, see her with your physical eyes. Josiah sees everything with the physical eyes. You see Josiah with the physical eyes. Everything about Josiah that he sees with the physical and you see with the physical is in the earthen realm. This one is in the spiritual realm. And it's inside of him. That's why if you walk by sight, you don't know who you are. You have to walk by faith. It takes faith to know this person is in you. So if you're not born again, your eyes cannot see. He says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And he cannot enter, he can't walk in it. So that's why we walk by faith. What is faith? Josiah, if he walks by faith, he walks by the reality of his new identity. If Josiah doesn't walk by faith, all his identity is what he has with his American Social Security driver's license. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
But in the spirit, this is where power is. This is who Satan fears. This is who carries the blood. This is the one that now is seated with Christ. Because his spirit, let me show you how this works in the spiritual realm. Remember Paul said in Ephesians, he says, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Basically, all our problems, a lot of things we deal with, are not always physical. They carry spiritual. Yes, some of them are inspired spiritually. That's why we can't just overcome them by physical methods. Amen? Amen. Paul said we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness and stuff. So here is how what Paul is describing here. So he says Jesus, when he came here, he was fully spiritually, but also has his eating. When he died to this flesh, he rose again, and now he's seated in heavenly places. Amen? Amen. Far above principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. That's where he is. Now he says, when we are born again, we are buried with him, meaning this man now dies through baptism. He now lays down his earthly bloodline in terms of spiritual. Amen?
Amen.
He lays down his earthly bloodline. He surrenders everything. When he's now baptism, when you're raised up, he now by faith, he accesses the spiritual son. And he starts developing this spiritual sonship and started now building a relationship. Because this is spiritual, let me show you really quickly why I brought them out. This is Josiah in the physical. Huh? Mm-hmm. Josiah is here in this world. Mm-hmm. But this person is on the inside, is spiritual. Mm-hmm. Now look at their position. In the world, Josiah is earthly and can only deal with natural things. But in the spirit, Jesus says he has raised Josiah, born again, to be seated with him. So here's the position. So in the physical, this is the world here. This is where Josiah lives. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness are here. Huh? Now, this is the world. This is principalities and power. When Josiah gets born again, he now, this is where Christ lives. In the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, far above the spirits that control problems. So here is where Christ is. And it says, Josiah, through the born again, now is in the flesh, but because he's a spiritual person, he now has access to this place and operates from this place. That's why I say, our Father, this is where you connect to this place. So when you pray, when you are fighting spiritual things, you don't fight from this level. You fight from a victorious level.
Amen.
Because everything under here is under the feet of Christ.
Amen.
And if it's under the feet of Christ, then it's under your feet in the spirit.
Amen.
So that's why David, when he was here, Goliath and his in the physical was here and his spirit, David has a covenant with here. And he fought Goliath from this place because of covenant. And as a young boy that understood that relationship, he was able to defeat a physical giant because he went above the level of that. So on this resurrection day, what is the benefit? Where has God brought you from? And where has he taken you? Where are you operating from? So as you leave this place today, you've been taken from darkness to light. So darkness, you have power over darkness, physically and spiritually, by faith. Darkness is wickedness. That's one. He took him from dead to life. Internally, he's giving you life. Took him, he says he became poor, that you might become his riches. He took him from self-righteousness, says it was sin, and he gave us his righteousness. So you don't need to beat yourself all the time. This is who you are here. You go through things where you have to repent because you're in the flesh. But this one is who you should always. Who God says you are is who you are.
Amen.
You are the righteousness of God. You're the power of God. You're the Son of God. You're the authority God has. And when this praise, God hears. When this praise, it doesn't go anywhere. The difference between the power of prayer is when you pray by the Spirit or you're praying by the flesh. That's why you need to know who you are. And on this Resurrection Sunday, that's what God gave to us. a new identity. Amen. Children of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So we want to pray really quick. Amen?
Amen.
As you're here today, if you're here and you have not given your life to God, you've not really received Christ, do you know how you can see what you're missing? Amen?
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 Amen.
You can see what you need. If you're here today, I just want us to, let's pray together. Just as you bow to pray, just pray for somebody here that is, as you close your eyes to pray, let's pray for somebody here that wants to rededicate their lives. It's like, I heard this word, I received it, now I want to walk in it. Lord, I receive you, and I confess my sins, and now I want your life. I want you to be the GPS of my life. I want you to direct me. I want you to lead me from this day forward. If you're here, while people are praying and their eyes are closed praying, can you lift your hand? I want to pray for you. Just, I want to pray for you wherever you are. I want Jesus. I want a new life. I want a new direction. I want God to be my GPS. Just lift your hands so I can pray for you. Amen. If you're here and you have been going to church, you've been a Christian, but your eyes are now open to a higher ground, a place God is calling you, a position God wants you to access so that you can take advantage of the victory of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit to address things, especially in the Spirit. You're asking for impartation, for spiritual growth. You're taking something with you this day as a benefit of the death and resurrection of Christ. Let's stand up together and let's just lift our hands. I want to pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given all to us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given all to us. That we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the release, the increase of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, I thank you for the inspiration and the empowerment to a new level of the revelation of the power of resurrection. Father, I thank you that as you've opened our eyes, Father, I pray that it will not leave you, to not stay in the knowledge realm, but it will stay in the experiential realm. I thank you, Father, that as your children depart from this place, Father, I thank you for that impartation of faith and grace to overcome, to overthrow, and to walk in victory over circumstances and situation. Father, I thank you today by revelation of your spirit. I declare your peace. I declare victory in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the revelation of Jesus. Thank you for the revelation of the cross. Thank you for the revelation of the resurrection power. We thank you for what you've done for us. We receive it this day. We walk from this place. Father, take us to a higher ground. A victorious ground.
Amen.
An overcomer in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for anyone here this morning that is struggling with any form of situation. I ask, Holy Spirit, you know everyone by name. Have your way now. Thank you. Thank you for your touch. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for direction. Thank you for clear direction. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.